The Mishnah tells us on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, we're going to end this Masechta with some intellectual jumping jacks, as we've done the whole Masechta. So it would only be apropos. Sometimes Masechtas, by the way, end off on a very light note. They throw in a bunch of agadita, they throw in a bunch of stories, they throw in a bunch of like muster pieces. Not Erevin. Erevin's not going down like that. So, Sheretz HaShenimtza B'Mikdash. You find a bug in the Beis HaMikdash. You know a bug is Tameh. You can't have a bug in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen Motzio Behem Yano. So the Kohen can take it out with his cloak, with his some kind of dress that he has. Shalol Lishos HaTumah. So that the Tumah doesn't stay there for a very long time. Divi Rebbe Yochanan Broka. That's Rebbe Yochanan Broka's been. Rebbe Yehuda Omer. Rebbe Yehuda says no. Bits Vas Shel Eitz. Shalol Rabos HaTumah. You, instead of taking it out with the cloak, which would then contaminate the cloak, what you should rather do is wait until you can get some kind of wooden utensil. And with that wooden utensil, you'll be able to take it out, even if it means keeping the sheretz there for a little longer than is comfortable. At least this way, you won't contaminate anything else. So really, it's a big discussion about what's best. Should you wait it out and limit the tumah, or should you get rid of the tumah as quickly as possible? So Gemara says, Mehechen Motzino, so from where do you have to take it out? Obviously, if it was a weekday, you could be able to take it out right away. But if it was on Shabbos, so then where do you take it out? Where are we machmer to take it out from? So Gemara says, Min ha'ulam, from the entrance hall, from the sanctuary, min ha'hechal, which is the sanctuary, min ha'ulam, which is the entrance to the hechal, umi bein ha'ulam ha'mezbeach, and between the ulam to the mezbeach, which is in the Azara. So those are the most holy places. If they're in those places, we're more machmer to say take it out. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. That's according to Rabbi Shimon ben Anas. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kol Makom Shechayev and Azdon Kares Ashkas Chatzim Shem Eltiyon. So any place where you can be chayev kares, if you're tamei in those spots, if you're mazed, so then you take them out. And if you did it by accident, or at least unwittingly, as Safari likes to say, so then those are the places to take it out, which would include, I believe, the Azara. Meaning the rest of the Azara, not just until the Mizbeach, I believe. Ushar kol makomos kofen alav ka pesachter. And if you find a bug in any other place, a dead bug in any other place, so then you cover it over with some kind of bowl. I don't know why they said the word pesachter, but apparently Unkelus uses that to translate some of the words in the Mishkan Pesukim. Either way, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Makom sheitir lecha chachamim mishalcha nasu lach shlo tir lecha ela makom shvus. So this is somewhat of a riddle that I don't know why he says it like this. I'll just translate it literally. The Gemara is going to finish off Maseches Erevin, as you would expect, trying to clarify a complicated phrase. So we'll get to it at the end of the Masechta. So the Rav Shimon says, wherever Chazal said you can do something, they only said so for your own. As they only allow you to do things that are because of a rabbinic prohibition, but not things that would lead you to an Isser Daraisa. What in the world is he talking about? We'll get to that at the end of the daf. Amar Rav Tavi Bar Kisna. Tavi Bar Kisna. Interesting name. He says, Amar Shmuel, he quotes Shmuel, Hamachnes Tamei Sheretz L'Mikdash Chayev Sheretz Atzma Pater. If you would bring something which is Tamei Sheretz into the Mikdash, so then you'd be Chayev for making something else Tamei. But if you bring the actual bug itself, you'd be Pater, which is one, you know, very, very loaded phrase. What a kula. You can bring the actual bug, but you can't bring something which is tummy from the bug. Why? My time, a drasha. You can't ask kashas on drashas. The pasuk says, Amar kra, mizach rav yad nekeva teshalechu. From a man to a woman, you shall send out. If a man or a woman is tummy, you have to send them out of the camp. This is all the way in the beginning of Bamidbar. So, mishiyesh lo ta rav mikvah. The only people, contaminating substances that you have to send out are people or things that have a way to purify themselves in a mikvah. Yasa sheretz she'en lo tahara. It doesn't matter how many times you put a bug in the mikvah, it will not become tahor. For we hear from this passage, zachar and akeva you can send out because they are people that become tahor through a mikvah. Nothing else. So lema misayale, maybe the following brace up also supports that concept. We say in the brace, mizachar and akeva t'leich same pasuk. Prat l'kli charas. That's to the exclusion of pottery. This, by the way, is not always applicable in modern day culture, because nowadays our pottery oftentimes has a glass glaze on it, which would require, at least be suffic, or to require mikvah. But there are some kinds of pottery where you would not need to, and therefore it's not chayv even in the mikvah. Div Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili says any pottery which doesn't have one of these other glazes on it, you would not be chayv to bring to a mikvah, and you would not be chayv to send it outside of the camp if it's tummy. So my time, why? Lav mishum delay slay tar of mikvah. Maybe it's because the same idea. It's a support of what we just said from Shmuel, that the only things that are required to send out of the camp are things which are able to be purified in a mikvah. However, kli charas, pottery is not able to be purified in a mikvah, and therefore you do not have to send it out of the camp. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. That's not the same thing. Lo, mishanasa avatuma. The only reason a pottery is not required to be sent out of the camp is because it doesn't attain the status of av hatumah. It doesn't have the most severe form of tameh, of impurity. But everything else, like a person or a bug, could have the status of an av hatumah, the most severe form of tumah, unless you think that just because I'm speaking in generalities about tumah, then you cannot think about tumah. You'll find in 3 weeks from now, at the end of the first parak of Psachim, a whole dose of trying to figure out tumah. So while it's you know, I'll give you a respite for now because we're in Erevin, I'll take it easy on you. The end of the first parak of Psachim, I remember you very clearly, is a little complicated, and we're going to have to get into the details about what is an avatuma, a sheni lutuma, and the things that contaminate one to the next. How do you transfer over impurity? It's not stone ogea for this for this discussion, so I won't get into it. But just to warn you that Psachim is not all, you know, roses and whatever the phrase is, but it's also going to be it's also going to have some difficulty sprinkled in there. But don't worry, it will. Was it?
Oh no, it's bread and roses.
Bread and roses?
I think it's rainbows and unicorns.
Rainbows and unicorns. Okay, I like that better.
Because and roses.
Yeah, matzah and macaroons.
There's tuma throughout the Talmud.
Yeah, the tuma comes up all the time. Not as prevalent in Psachim. There are a couple times that jump out at me. As opposed to Erevin, I've actually learned Psachim before. So that should be fun for me, and hopefully fun for you, because I'll have a little bit of background. But yeah, it comes up only a couple times in Psachim. So we'll see. Enough dilly-dallying. Let's keep going here. So here we find that we don't necessarily have a proof from that brisa that one is allowed to take, a bug into, or one is allowed to keep a bug inside of the mikdash. So lema ketanai, let's say it's like the following brisa. Sheretz shenimsa b'mikdash kohen motzi b'hem yano. He's quoting our mishnah. Shalol l'shahu ses atuma divrei Rabbi Yochanan bar Rabbi Yehuda omer b'tzva shel etz motzio shalol rabos atuma. So we have that mishnah that said you can either bring it out with the apron or you can bring it out with the wooden panel or whatever kind of wooden prongs that you can take the sheretz out, even if it requires you to wait a little longer. So Gemara says, my love, maybe that's what we're disagreeing about here. My love, the Hakul Mavi, are they not disagreeing about this? Demand Amar Shalol Shahos, the one who says not to wait to find the wooden prongs, Kasavar, Hamachna Sheretz Mikdash Chayev, a person who brings in a bug to the base of Mikdash is Chayev, therefore you have to take it out as quickly as possible. The second that it's in there, you got to take it out, because it's Chayev, you're not allowed to bring it into the Mikdash. Umand Amar Shalol Rabos, and someone who says that you shouldn't contaminate your clothing. The kohen shouldn't contaminate the clothing by putting in the clothing, but rather you should wait and allow it to stay there for longer. Maybe that opinion holds. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's okay to keep it in the Beis HaMikdash because there's no real problem to put it in the Beis HaMikdash in the first place. You should take it out, but it's not really a problem to allow it to sit there for longer. So Gemara said, no, lo, the kuli amachayev. Everyone agrees. I don't know where this concept from Shmuel comes from, but everyone agrees that bringing a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash is a problem. You're not allowed to bring a sheretz into that's chayev. chayiv to bring something like that, which is tameh, into the Beis HaMikdash. The hachabaka milfagi, in our Mishnah we're talking about just a simple equation. Mar sava shui tumadif. One person says to allow it to stay over is better, which is they're flipping the order of the shittas here. Umar sava pushi tumadif, and one says it's better to increase impurity than to allow the impurity to stick around. But it's not to say that it's based on whether or not a sheret is aser. Ela kahai tanai. Rather, it's like the following brisa. Detnan mehechen motzino so, etc. So the Gemara says, my lab, hakam lefagim. Maybe let's say that this part of the Mishnah, which we said before, that where can you take it out from, is also indicative of whether or not they hold it's aser. So my lav hakam mefagim manda amar me'azara lo, the one who says that you don't have to take it out from the azara, meaning from outside of the mizbeach. The second opinion, the first opinion, who says if you find a bug outside of the mizbeach spot in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have to take it out. Kasavar hamach nesheres lemikdash pater. Someone who brings the bug into the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have to worry about it because it's pater. Mandar mekula azara kasavar chayev. And the one who says you have to bring it out from the entire azara, meaning even from the outside, Rabbi Akiva, I think it was. That opinion, Rabbi Akiva holds that it's usher to bring a sheretz in at all. So Rabbi Yochanan says shneim mikra echadarshu. We find this a lot of times that two opinions come from the same pasuk. It's just a matter of how you read the pasuk. The pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim. Not very often that we quote from Divrei Hayamim to justify a halachic concept, but here it is. They took out all the impurity, which I believe literally is referring to Avodah Zarah in that case, in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, if I remember correctly. They bring it out to the Chatzar. And the Levim took it to bring it out into the Nachal Kidron, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Mar Savar, one opinion says, Rabbi Shimon ben Anna says, Rabbi Shimon ben Anna who says that only can go up to the Azara, but anything in the Azara, you can keep it there. So Mar Savar, mi de'ishni ba'azara b'levim, the fact that they could change it over, they could give over whatever impurity over to the Levium, Tumim Ba'azara Leka, the fact that they could give it over to the Levium means that there's some kind of a leniency about the Azara, that specifically they would change it, they would transfer it over in the Azara. Umar Savar Ad Hechazol Efshar B'Levium Mafki Kohanim, any place that the Levium are not allowed to go into, so then the Kohanim take it out. Hashad Efshar B'Levium, but in this case, when they get to the Azara, the Levium were able to access it from the Azara, so Tu Lo Mitami Kohanim. In that case, the Kohanim shouldn't become more Tame, and therefore they give it over. But it's not to indicate whether there's a leniency about the Azara or not. That has nothing to do with the Sheretz, has nothing to do with allowing you to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, nothing to do with that. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learned that's how they became rabbis. Hakol nechnasin behechal livnos letakein lotias atuma. Everyone is allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, even into the most holy of parts, in order for the fixing of the Beis HaMikdash, to build the Beis HaMikdash, and for the sake of taking out impurity. Mitzvah b'kohanim, but it's a greater mitzvah for the kohanim to do such a thing. Im ein sham kohanim, if there are no kohanim to do these fixings, to do the renovations, nichnasim levim, so then levim would go in and do it. In im ein sham levim, nichnasim yisraelim, even Yisrael could go in to do the renovations of the heichal. Ve'idi tahorin in tamei lo, for both of them, that anyone who's tahor is allowed to, but if you're tamei, you're not allowed to. Doesn't matter if you're kohen levi or Yisrael. Tahor good, Tame bad, meaning if you had a Tahor Yisrael and a Tame Kohen, so the Yisrael comes before the Kohen. Very interesting concept. Rav Huna, Rav Kahana Messiah Kahane. Rav Kahana, who was himself a Kohen, would also help the Kohanim, right, to show them their special qualities. How? Mitoch Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, Achal Parochas Leyavo. In the middle of Vayikra there, that sounds like Kedosha maybe. Yachalo Yehu Kohanim Bali Mumin Nichnasin Bein Ha'ulim Mizbeach Lasos Riku Apachim. Maybe you're going to think that even the Kohanim, which are Bali Mumin, meaning they have some kind of blemish, they have some kind of mum that on their body, and they wouldn't be able to even take the plates of gold for the Kodesh HaKadashim. Not plates, but like, I think it's referring to something you would put on the actual walls. I'm not sure if anyone has a note on that. Rashi says, Tasin shalzav shemechapin behen beis kachei kadash mitocho. They would line the walls to make the walls golden or something. I don't know how to translate tasin, but here it says, it translates it as plates. Either way, so the Kohen Baal Mum is allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe you would think that they're not allowed to go in Ach al Parochas Lo Yavu, because it says you're not allowed to go into the Parochas. Tamalomar Ach Chilik. The word Ach is coming to separate. Very interesting, by the way. I have here, I'm reading from the Sefaria, who has Nekudos, and the Nekudos of this word Chilik are different from the Nekudos on the Masifta, which is Chalak. And I thought when I read it in the Masifta, it shouldn't be Chalak, it should be Chilik, because it's a verb. That this Ach is separating, it's making a distinction. Whenever you have the word Ach, it makes a distinction, which means it should be PL, it should be an active verb. Either way, Chilik, mitzvah b'tmimim, Ein sham tamimim nechnasim ba'alim mumin. The mitzvah, the best preferred person to do it are those kohanim which are completely tamim. They have no blemishes on themselves. However, ein sham tamimim. If there are no tamimim, if there's no one who has no blemish, so nechnasim ba'alim mumin. So people who have a mum could also go in and fix the Beis Hamikdash, put on the gold plating of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's what Rav Kahana was coming to tell them. That, be mechazik yourself, even a Kohen Baal Mum would be preferred to preferred to somebody else. So, however, mitzvah b'tahorin, there's a mitzvah for someone who's tahor, a Baal Mum who's tahor to do it. Ein sham tahorin, however, nechnasim tamein. So, before those who are Yisraelim tahorim would come Kohanim who are tahorim, which are Baal Mumin, right? Lest you think that that tuma is worse, is better than Mum, so Mum wins out. So, idi kohanim in Yisraelim lo. In both situations, a Kohen would be preferred, a Yisrael would not. That implies against the opinion that we saw before, the Bryce that we saw before, that Kohanim are always preferred, even if they're Tameh, although it doesn't explicitly say that. So now the Gemara says, Ibayit. Now the Gemara asks explicitly, Ibayiluhu Tameh ubal mum, ezumem nechnas. Let's say you have a Kohen who's Tameh, versus a Kohen who's a Baal Mum. Which one comes first? Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav, Tamei Nechnas Taha Ishri Bavod Tzibor. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi says, in the name of Rav, that the Tamei Kohen should go in first, because that Tamei Kohen is allowed to work in the Beis HaMikdash, even in as long as it's a situation as everybody's Tamei. This is actually brought up in Psachim, if I remember correctly, but also is a discussion by Hanukkah. Right, the discussion of Hanukkah, why did they need to get Tahor oil? They were allowed to technically do the Avodah with Tameh oil, being that everything was Tameh, or the majority of people were Tameh. And there's a certain special quality that the Chashmonaim were willing to go the extra mile, to do extra, to bring the oil for the menorah from Tahor oil. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Baal Mum nechnas to ha'ishri b'achlis kachim. The Baal Mum should go in first because he has the added benefit of eating kachim, even if he can't do the avoda himself. Whereas someone who's a kohen, who's tameh, is not allowed to eat the kachim anytime. So Rabbi Elazar says that the Baal Mum kohen should be preferred. Okay, let's finish it off here. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon had said this interesting phrase that anything that Chazal said, which was permitted, you be allowed to only from your own, whatever that means. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Hechakai. Rabbi Shimon, where are you coming off saying such a thing? Why are you saying this? Hasamkai, it's talking about the following. Titnan, a Mishnah all the way back on Daf Nun something. I forgot what Daf it was. Nun, Rashi doesn't say it explicitly. Nun Beis, 52. The Mishnah says, someone who is walking and has to stop for Shabbos outside of the Tchum. Afilu ama achas leikanes. The Mishnah says, even one ama away from the Tchum to get into the city, you're not allowed to enter. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu chamesh esar ama yikanes v'she'en hamashochos mematzines hamidos shemibnei atoim. That we're not going to be so stringent upon you, because the people who measured the Tchum presumably weren't measuring so carefully, and you're allowed to get even 15 amos outside of the Tchum, you'd be allowed to enter the city. Fascinating kula. that you remember we talked about then. That was all inside that Gemara where you hold the string, you hold the rope. If it's like an incline, you hold the rope and you go up and you hold the rope and you try to measure it in a sort of a weird way. Right? What was it like? Pokdim or something? It was a very strange word. You pierce the hillside or something. Either way, so Rabbi Shimon says that was a kula, but it wasn't a kula because the Kamar Tana Kama lo yikanis. The Tana Kama says, no, you can't go. And the Amar Rabbi Shimon yikanis. Rabbi Shimon says, you can. That limit is not really was not really so exact, but rather midaraisa, so you'd be allowed to actually get more than that. We're just going to be machmer for the people who measured that they didn't measure so well. If you remember, I think the Gemara said there that they didn't measure it so well because they held on to the end of the rope, and you can't necessarily have the entire width of the rope if you're holding some of it, so that you're going to lose a little slack there. So the Gemara says, so that was the statement that he said before, that whenever the Chazal allowed you to do something, they allowed you only from your own. Somehow that is a reference to this concept that you're allowed to go into the city if you're 15 amos within the city limits.
Only where something was prohibited midrabanan, then they're lenient and they're allowed, but anything that's prohibited midoraita, they're not lenient.
That's what it sounds like, except for the next part also sounds like it's saying the same thing. That's what my only hesitancy. Rashi says, "Mishal chanas nulach shekvar hu betoch tchumo." Right, he's giving it from you. Right, the fact is that midaraisa, you're probably inside your tchum. Right, so when we're lenient to say that you can go 15 more amos to the city, it's because really you're already in your own city, and therefore it's okay. And don't say the way that Rashi says it. Delo tema mekel ani beisr Shabbos. Don't say that I'm being lenient about Shabbos. El mishalo natat nasati lo. I'm giving it to him because it belongs to him. That's his city. He's already in the city. Don't be so machmer to say that he's not in his city already, where it's just the people that measured that made it smaller. So that's why he says. That's why he says here to clarify for people that it's not really a kula, as much as it is giving you what you already deserve. Okay? Statement number two. Shlohi tir l'chayla mishum shvus. Rabbi Shimon says, we're only allowed to do same things that are shvus, that are completely midrabanan. If, however, something would lead you to be asr midaraisa, so then it wouldn't be the same thing. Hecha kai, so what is he talking about? Hasam kai. Deka amar. Tana kama koshra. This is referring back to the harp. Right, the harp string that fell off that we did only a few dapim ago. So Tana Kama says you can fully tie it up, right, in a knot. Va'amar le'Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says no, onva, you have to form only a bow, not a full knot. Aniva delo asil de'chiv chatas sharo le'Rabbanan. This is the reasoning for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to a bow, which is not going to bring you to tying it fully into a knot in another situation, because you'll only ever think you're allowed to do a bow, so then we'll allow you to do a bow inside of the Beis HaMikdash, because you're not going to come to do something else. However, kshira, da'asili d'chiv chatas, when it comes to a real knot, that you could potentially make another knot, which is not for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning outside of the Beis HaMikdash, inside of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, or the rest of the world, so that we're not going to allow you to do, lo sharli rabbanan, because that's not just a shvus. That's only that's something which is going to lead you to do something more usser, like a kshira, and therefore we're not going to allow you to do it even in the Beis HaMikdash. Because lest you come to do a chiyuv chata, something which is usser midaraisa, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, you're only allowed to make a bow in the Beis HaMikdash to prevent that situation. Hadron Allah Hamotzi Tzvilin Uslika Allah Meseches Erevin Shkayach. Everyone, for giving me chizuk for finishing Erevin, and Mirz Hashem will continue onward and upward. Everyone is free. Honestly, you're free to say the Hadron by yourselves. You don't have to. Wait for the opportunity to say Kaddish. So if you want to get your family together, you want to have a nice dinner, if you have an art scroll, so they have the Nekudos underneath it, you're more than welcome to say the Hadron, that special paragraph that sort of signifies your completion. and mark the occasion. I don't care how well you were listening or weren't listening. Everyone finished the Masechta. So I don't want to hear anybody say, no, I'm not going to do it because I wasn't listening the whole time and I'm not going to do it. You came every single day. You listened to every daf. It doesn't matter if you're Kampaskin Erevin right now. It matters that you were here every day. You guys did. You finished the Masechta and you should